way, Seth, where's Basic at? Just curious. Okay, I was just curious. Oh, my. Okay. What? Oh, okay. Oklahoma first? Fort Sill. Yeah. It is. All right. What is good to see each and every one of you tonight in the house of the Lord tonight. You could have chosen something else to do. But believe me, when I see people that come and worship the Lord on Sunday mornings and they worship the Lord on Wednesday nights, let me just tell you, it doesn't make their life perfect, but I'm telling you, I would bank on them working through their problems with God better than those who don't. We're horrible with our problems. We're horrible. People don't know how to work on problems. Problem solving, we just struggle with it. But let me remind you, even God's people struggle with it. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about getting down and getting discouraged and getting depressed. Some of us struggle with depression. Some of us struggle with getting down and discouragement. And I want to share this. Some of you guys know, and some of you ladies know, there's many people in the Bible that we can be talking about tonight, but I want to talk about one specifically. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Kings tonight, in chapter 19. And when you preach out of 19, you kind of got to dip into 18. I'm not going to go through the scriptures there, but I will bring you up to par. But I want to remind you that depression is not healthy, but it is unhealthy if you don't deal with it. Depression causes us to make decisions off emotions and circumstances, and we get ourselves in trouble real quick. And I want to remind you also that Christians also get discouraged and depressed. And sometimes us men, we want to hide it because it makes us feel weak. I'm telling you, there's not a soul here today that's never been discouraged. Almost all of us have been depressed at one time or another. Now, there are other super troopers where you just look at them and you go, would you take that smile off your face? Is it painted on there? No, it says, I'm happy. I have the joy of the Lord, and I'm just excited, and I just love life, and woo! Most of us are not that way. Talking about the prophet Elijah tonight. In one day, he saw more miracles than most people see in their whole life, and the type of miracles that we're talking about. On Mount Carmel, he's on there up on Mount Carmel, and they have this big showdown with these 400 Baal priests. And there's a showdown, and all day they're cutting themselves with knives, trying to bring on their gods to do action. Nothing happens. Elijah kind of taunts him a little bit. Taunts you, try a little more. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. And there is a crowd here. Elijah turns around and puts a sacrifice there, puts all kinds of logs, all that stuff, and puts a trench and fills it up with water. They're throwing water all over the place, and it's so drenched you couldn't even put gasoline on it and fire it up. Well, he calls up on God, and it's a fire from heaven. Big, big, big miracle. Stuns the crowd. Well, God, Yahweh must be God. We're going to go on his side. And Elijah says, strike those prophets of Baal down and don't let a one out. Now, all along, King Ahab is watching. He's in the crowd. But God's not done with the day. Now, if you're a writer, an author, you could go back and write a big novel on what you just saw if you were there. That's a big miracle, and that's a lot to talk about. But God's not done. God is going through the rest of this, and it kind of does this. Elijah kind of goes off by himself, and he says, now he begins to pray that it's going to rain because it hasn't rained. Now, some people say, well, where'd they get all that water from? Well, people probably brought it with them. It's one of the better places to be. If you go in and research it, it's probably one of the better places to be in the drought where they were. But he goes off and he prays. He sends his servant, go over there and look and see if you see any clouds. This is seven times. Finally says, well, there's a cloud the size of a fist. That's all Elijah needed. Goes over and tells King Ahab, you better get out of here. That rain's a-coming. So Elijah prayed and knows it's going to rain. That's a miracle. You know what I love about that? He did it seven times. Not just once, but seven. Kept at it. And then to finish up the day, something physically impossible by man ends up being possible by God. Elijah turns around and tells King Ahab, you better get on down, get out of here, get on your chariot, get down to Jezreel, get down and get out of here, because you don't want to get caught in a mudslide because it's going to rain that hard. And so the chariot takes off, he's going, but the Bible also says that the power of the Lord came up on Elijah, and Elijah outran the chariot. That's impossible. No man can outrun horses unless God's in it. So he beats him down the hill. Man, what a day. You can talk about that stuff for hours and days and share and testify about what God has done. You can do that and testify about what God has done. That is a big day of miracles. Man, God just didn't come and show up. He came up, stayed, camped out, and stayed the whole day. And he put his finger on everything. And he did all that. But I want to remind you, sometimes Satan is in the shadows, waiting for an opportunity. Always when God is doing the work, he is waiting to do something. So we are in chapter 19. And there's some things in this tonight that's going to connect, hopefully, with all of us. There's going to be something for you. But there's going to be some different things for some, different for others. You that serve in ministry need to pay attention to what I'm about ready to say. You pray and you see God move. I want to tell you, don't camp there too long. Because you'll want to think that that's how God moves all the time. Elijah is going to kind of learn this here in a little bit. But it isn't that it is amazing, it is awesome, it is a privilege, it is a blessing to see God move like this, but it's not that God does this every single day in this way. And coming off a mountain, when you, this is one reason I don't like to stay on mountaintops too long, because mountaintops are a peak, okay? Valleys are big and deep, and you're down in the valley, And God starts bringing you up out of the valley. It's a long, hard climb up out of the valley. And God lets you sit out there on the mountaintop and watch for a while. But here's the thing. He don't leave you there very long. But that's where we want to stay. So people move churches because they see God move here. And then when they stop seeing God move in the way that they want to see him physically, then they'll go to another church, and then they'll bounce to another church, and basically they can't catch up to God. And if you look at it, they're actually running from God. So be careful how you look at the miracles. Believe the miracles. Praise God for the miracles. Be thankful for the miracles. But no, that's a moment. And you have a life to live. Okay? God's going to do other things. So what happens here is, it says, now, Ahab, verse 1 of 19, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, 400 of them. So Ahab, we talked about these guys a couple of months ago, but Ahab is the king, but he's really not boss, but he thinks he's boss, but Jezebel's kind of boss. How do I know that? Because this scripture just told me. He went and told Jezebel, because Jezebel was the one that brought in these false gods. And Ahab turns around, he runs and tells Jezebel, listen, this is what happened. This is what that prophet did. Now we need to remember also that Jezebel had a lot of prophets killed. She's a prophet killer. That's what she did. And Ahab says that to Jezebel, saying, hey, this is what happened. Killed all your prophets with the sword. Doesn't say anything about, yeah, guess what? The prophet Elijah outran me in my chariot. Nope, didn't say that. Oh yeah, Elijah, he prayed for the rain and all of a sudden now it rained. Nope. Oh yeah, let me tell you what happened on Mount Carmel. Not just the end of it, but let me tell you the story. Nope. Nope. Because people that live in darkness can't see the light, and if they're blinded, they're not going to know it. It's right over their head. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, May the gods punish me so severely if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. So a messenger comes. She sends a messenger to Elijah. Elijah's still kind of high on the hog. He's probably still excited what God has done to a point. But he still feels the people didn't really change. It's kind of been a spot in some ways, but here comes the messenger. The messenger comes and says, hey, I'm from Jezebel, and they're looking for you to take your life. This is how Elijah responds. And then verse 3, Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. Let me just remind you that the roots of fear, when once the roots of fear start growing, they grow deep and they grow fast. Fear is a beast in itself. It is a beast in itself. Elijah was afraid and he ran. And he went down and he got down by his broom tree and he got rid of his helper. Said, go on, get out of here. Now he's going to get to this moment. He says, he sat down under a broom tree and he prayed that he might die. And he said, I've had enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Then he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. Here we see Elijah feeling like a failure. You feel like a failure, you're going to have the spirit of fear will come upon you. And you feel like a failure because you don't want to try it. You don't want to do it again. Now, how can he do this? How can he feel like a failure? How can he be like this to the point where he wants his life to be taken? Brother God, take my life then. Jezebel, take my life because they'll find me and they're going to kill me. Because how does he know that? Because there was a threat on him. Other prophets are dead. And she's looking for him. And she's pretty good about killing prophets. He says, I'm no better than my father's. And you do ministry and you don't see any output. You do the work. You don't see people's lives change. You start getting to this place. You feel like nobody's changing. It's not working. I'm just like the rest of everybody. It's not working. I'm no better than my father's. So he prayed that he would die. Elijah walked away from his ministry. I'm resigning. I'm quitting. When you say you want to die, that's what you did. That's what he's doing. He has a moment. Now let me tell you something. This is a place where we need not to be thinking that Elijah is not a man of God. We need to remember that this is still a man of God. Be careful how you judge God's servants in the Bible or in our pews. Because God has more patience than you and I do. God has more understanding than you and I do. He has more mercy and more forgiveness and a whole lot more grace than any of us have. God sees it. It says, suddenly an angel touched him. And the angel told him, get up and eat. And then he looked and And there at the head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank, and they lay down again. He went to take some more rest. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat." What was God doing here? God was giving him, he was exhausted. He's burnt out. When you get burnt out in ministry, you begin to make mistakes. Lord, let me remember that. When you burn out, you begin to do things that you wouldn't have done if you weren't. In this part, when I talk about being burnt out or running on empty, we are our own worst critics. Some of us. I'll be honest with you. I take a day off. I feel guilty. Ask my wife. Is it a macho thing or a prideful thing? No. But I just feel guilty. It's something I have to work through. And I have to see it. I have to take that downtime. Rather, if I don't take the downtime, I will make mistakes. And that downtime, the mistakes will force me to take it in the wrong way. So we see this kind of taking off in the wrong way. And so Elijah is running in fear. And fear moved Elijah to run away. And running away moved Elijah to abandon his ministry. And abandoning the ministry moved Elijah to discouragement and depression. You see, when you start with fear and you let fear grow roots, it's all downhill from there. It is all downhill from there. And remember, don't take your eyes off of it. Elijah is still a man of God. So God didn't say anything. Angel spoke to the angel. But what did he say? What did he do? He needs food and he needs rest. Didn't say what you need to do in ministry or anything. You need rest and you need food. Ha! Did it again, right? Said he came back a second time. Need a day of rest and some food. Man, I wish I would learn these lessons a lot easier than just the hard way. And he got up and he ate and he drank and burned. And then the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And he entered a cave there and he spent the night. Oh my. Did we just say the word cave? Did we not talk about the cave at Adullam on Sunday? Something happens in these caves. Getting away and spending some time with God. This is different than David. David's time, we talked about Sunday, was a different. He needed some different time with God. Elijah needed some private time with God. Even after that awesome experience on Mount Carmel and the prayer of rain and the running down a hill faster than the chariots. David, after Goliath and all his victories, and Saul killed his thousands and David killed the tens of thousands. Even after all those victories, he still needed a moment in a cave. Personal time with God. Don't ever think that you are done with personal times with God on this side of heaven. And so here he is. He's in this cave. Ministry's over there. People are over there. Elijah and God. Let's look at this. The word of the Lord came to him, and he said, I love this piece. The Lord says to Elijah, what are you doing here? You see, when we read about David in it, David just pours his heart out in Psalms about what's going on with his life. Here, God says, what are you doing here? Let me tell you, that was a big question. But you know the voice of God. God asks the questions. We're going to give an answer. He's going to give an answer. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord. Do you notice when we get in these moments, we begin to really talk about what's going on with me? When we're not in where we need to be with God, we begin to talk about ourselves. But remember, this is a man of God, all right? Not putting him down, just this is what happens. Because when you get down and discouraged, you talk about what? Yourself. Your problem. That's what we do. Because we're discouraged, we're depressed, we talk about our problem. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. What he says, I'm the only one left. He's going to find out later. He's not the only one left. This is bigger than Elijah. And so here he is, answering God. Then he said, I want you to go out. So sometimes, some of us are hard-headed. We just can't hear a couple words. We got to see a little action. We got to have a little principle in action in front of it, a little action. Knock on your hard head, some of us. I've been there. He said, I want you to go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. And at that moment, the Lord passed by, and a great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, let me just tell you about that. All that big, loud stuff. Sometimes people can go into a church and go, everybody's like, yeah, it's great. This music's great. And sometimes, some people do it. I'm just saying, with the right spirit. I've heard people say, and a couple times in my ministry, the Lord's not here. Now, I'm not talking about here. I've been in a couple of churches. The Lord is not here. They're banging drums and they're banging guitars. They're singing. They all got great voices. But the Lord's not here. You'll never know that unless you're close with the Lord. But it says, and after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out, and he stood in the entrance of the cave. So he's all deep up in this cave. Now he hears a small voice. He wraps himself. Because who can really stand in the presence of the Lord without hiding their face on this side of heaven? Comes right out to the entrance, and he's there. He knows that it is the Lord. Remember, he's discouraged, and he's got this depression piece. I'm the only one left. It didn't work, God. It didn't work. And then suddenly a voice came to him and said, once again, what are you doing here? You ever been in a place and knew you shouldn't have been there? He says, I have been zealous for the Lord of hosts. He's going to come back with a reply. Sometimes I don't understand how these guys can do that. But then again, these guys are awesome men. I think Jonah did the same thing, got in a conversation with God. And he replied, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant and tore down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking to take my life. He can't get off of that. He just can't get off of it. When you're talking with someone, someone's discouraged, someone's depressed, they can't get off. It doesn't matter what you tell, they just can't get off of it. They can't get out of that room of discouragement. They can't do it. Then the Lord said, this is how you get it. This is one of the points where you get out of it. Go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. You got to leave this place. This place is going to kill you. You got to get out of this rut. You got to get out of it. Just like with David. David couldn't stay in the cave. He could be there for a moment, for a little bit, but he had to leave. Because what happens when you get depressed, the depression becomes bigger than God in your eyes. But it's not bigger than God. Your situation and circumstance becomes bigger than God. Because in your mind, you've already said you're the only one. And then he says, when you arrive, you're anointed as this king, and you're to do all these things. There's a list of 4 or 5 things he's supposed to do. What is he doing? What is God doing? God is getting Elijah out of that hole of depression. I don't think you can really get out of depression until you have something to look forward to. So I'm going to give you some things. I don't know if you write things down or what, but if you're going through depression, I'm going to give you some things I believe through these scriptures that we can see that these can help you through discouragement and depression. Because if you're not there today, you were probably there sometime in the past, and then you may be there in the future. How many of you know in your own life when discouragement and depression is coming up on you? How many of y'all know that? Okay. So you need to know, and you need to see it and recognize it, that it's going to stop here. I'm drawing a line in the sand. It's not going any further. I'm going to dig down. It may push me back a little bit, but we're not going back to where I was before. That was too deep. That was too dark. Because you know, when you're in depression, you start thinking about things that are very, very sinful. You can get into places where you're thinking of things that you never thought you would ever think about. And if you stay there so long, there comes a moment where you get so discouraged and so depressed that you start to think about taking your own life. But can I remind you that your life is not yours to give like that? For God gave you life to live, not for you to take it and end it. Number one, when you start going through and you see the signs of depression, number one, you need to seek God immediately. If not, you will run. One thing we see, Elijah always seeks God, but when he heard about this peace, Jezebel's coming, he did not seek God. He listened to that took over, and he ran. When discouragement and depression come up on you, it's there, it's beginning to stand in front of you. Number one, you need to seek God. And if you're in ministry, you're going to need it. As a Christian, you need it. You need to seek God. Because God can turn all of this into something positive. And he does. Number two, you sound simple. But what I put afterwards is a little more complicated. You need to pray. Your prayer life needs to go up immediately. And let me tell you, the hardest thing to do is to pray. Because that's spiritual warfare. You'll pray, you'll start thinking about going to McDonald's. You'll pray, you start thinking about kids. You pray, you start thinking about grandma, You pray, you start thinking about your house. You pray, you start thinking about this. You pray, and everything will bombard you except for what you need to be talking about. And what you need to be listening for. You see, in this prayer piece, we see that Elijah, and I know how this works. I've been there. Bellyaching to God. I bellyache to God many times. But there's got to be a moment where you zip the bellyaching and stop and listen for a response from the Lord. God has a lot to say. And God can say it in one sentence so many times. What are you doing here? And he uses his Holy Spirit, and that means, man, it's just so huge and powerful. Pray. Pray. Because I'll tell you what, when you're going through discouragement, you're not praying. Very little. You're not praying for other people. I can tell you that right now. Number three, you're going to have to start reading your Bible again. I suggest you go to the book of Psalms and find out that you aren't the only one. And Now, I've heard this so many times. I just can't read the Bible. It's so boring, or I can't get into it. It seems to be so hard. Listen, is getting out of discouragement and depression important to you? Then you got to do the hard work. And I'm going to tell you, God speaks in His Word. There's a moment, there's been moments in my Bible. I have lots of Bibles. Lots of Bibles. I love to write in my Bibles. I get too much written in. I push it over. The binder breaks. I get a new one. Then I write what I feel, what I know the Holy Spirit has spoken. And what I'll do is I'll say, Lord, I don't know what to do today. I'm at this point in my life. I'm going to Psalms, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to read this. I'm going to read a chapter, and I'm just going to say, you tell me what I need to know out of this chapter. And I'll tell you every time there's a verse that just comes out, and I do this, highlight it. Because guess what? I'm not done with it. I'm coming back at it later in the day. I'm coming back at it that night. Because why? Look at me for a second. If God speaks, we all listen. And I have to hear it more than once to sink in. And what have I just done? If I've done it three times, I've kind of let that sink in my life three or four times throughout that day. And if I'm not through, I need to wrestle with it again, and I go to another chapter. And I wrestle with it by reading the Word. But sometimes depression is huge to a point where you feel alone. Number four is you need to seek spiritual counsel. Spiritual guidance. Or someone you know is walking. Listen, you don't pick out people who agree with you. This isn't where you go get a case and go down to the lake and open up the truck and you're going to drink your discouragement away. This is where you share your burdens with someone. I'm struggling. I'm going through something. We need to stop just sharing it. We need to ask those people to pray with us. Discouragement is real. Depression is a real thing. And I want to also remind you that number five is we need to take time to rest and then get back to what God's called us to do. Now, sometimes people say, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Listen, I don't believe God's going to allow us to stay in there for a long, long, long time. If we do, then we've got some problems and we need to really, really be honest. But we need to really let God do some work. You can't do this on your own. The world has a way of it. Now, I'm going to say some things. I'm not busting on anybody. It's just this is how the world reacts. And sometimes we need the help. The world will say, I'm going to come to me. I'll counsel you. I'll tell you all the things that you can, you know, what you're doing is really not that bad. But in Scripture, God says, that's not the way to live. Why don't put that heat on yourself? Don't put that weight. Live the way you want to live. And by the way, the world understands that. We're making stuff legal that was illegal. Open your mind. You'll be happy. Others will say, here's a script, number 45. Here's another script. Here's another script. Now, I said, there are some people that need certain things. Every time I call the VA, that's where I get my medical. I go to call the VA. This is what they ask me. Mr. Staten, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, well, do you feel discouraged? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel like taking your life? Are you unhappy? I went to the dentist today, and we were just talking, and she says, you know what made me really upset was my daughter. I took her to the doctor, and the doctor says, honey, are you feeling discouragement? Do you feel depressed? Have you ever had thoughts of suicide? I was like, what are you talking about? She said, what are you talking about? We're putting this in everybody's mind that, and then it's saying, it's okay. It's okay. It's part of our world. We're, you know, live in it. Do whatever you need to do. Be happy in it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your paths what? Straight. I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the Creator, Maker of heaven and earth. Draws us. When we get discouraged, that should draw us to God. This is what Elijah needed. He needed to grow in his faith, and God didn't let him just do it right there with the food and the and in that valley piece. He had to send him away to a place where it was just him and God. 40 days and 40 nights. He had to take that journey, process his whole mind, spinning, get to the place. And he came to the place, and God began to say, well, what are you doing here? Because that's what Elijah was running. When you run, how far can you run? As long as you're getting further away from the place that you started from. I'm going to run as far as away. And then God met Elijah right there and said, what are you doing here? He knew. He was called to do a mission for God. He was a prophet of God. God puts him in. And gives him a task. And one of those tasks is that he is to anoint Elijah in his place. And God also tells him, but I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. What he's saying, you're not the only one left. You're not the only good Christian in America. This is not the only good church in America. This is not the only positive biblical preaching church in Huntington. We're not the only ones. We need to get beyond that. And I look at this, and we get kind of hard sometimes with our brothers and sisters. And I want to follow up with this. You remember when I said that God has more patience, more mercy, and more love than we can ever, ever give to someone. How does God do that with this story? Well, what we see is Elijah's walking, and with Elijah would not leave, and Elijah told him to go, and he wouldn't stay. He's going with him. And he says, what can I do for you? And Elijah, the younger guy, says, I'd like a double portion of what you got. Yeah, when you say that, it would be awesome if somebody says, man, I want a double portion of your Christianity. I just said, that's a pretty hard ask. But if you see me right up into heaven, you're going to get it. But if you don't, you won't. Elijah sees it. I love that story. It's like the limousine from heaven came down and picked up Elijah. Now, wait a minute. I thought Elijah was this guy who ran out of fear. He got discouraged. He was depressed. And he ran from him. And he just says, I'm done. I quit. I'm running away. And he runs. But let me tell you, that is the God that we have. God will restore and can restore. In our weaknesses, in our setbacks, in what we call failures. And God is not done until He says you're done. Oh, it gets better than that. I mean, come on, who gets picked up in first class heaven style? I just wonder sometimes if he was looking up or he was going, this is great. I don't know, but I know it was good. Oh, they were all looking for Elijah later. Elijah says, he's gone, dudes. He's gone. But then we go fast forward. Jesus goes up a hill with a few disciples. Transfiguration. And there's two that come to encourage Jesus. One is Moses, and the other is Elijah. What? The guy that ran? Praise God for God's forgiveness, His mercy, and just being able to potter with the clay again, remolding us, putting us back out there. Listen, discouragement and depression is not and should not ever be king of your life. If the Bible says that, Jesus, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then we can beat depression. We can step on discouragement. And I'm telling you, it's not just, I'm done with it. God's going to work in it. And you let God put his hands on you, you're going to come out better than you were when you went in. Well, like I said, take pills, you take scripts for certain things, you do what you got to do. But I believe God's stronger than that. How did people make it in 500 BC? How did people make it in the 1700s? We got away from God, started looking more at man to fix my problem. God has been waiting for so long for so many for people just to come to him. Let me tell you, if you have problems, you have discouragement, you're depressed, you got these same problems year after year after year, something's not working. You need to wake up. Something is not working. Your ideas and plans, I've never heard more people had plans and ideas and they never come to be. A lot of dreamers, but not a lot of doers. A lot of dreams in the world. Nothing wrong with having a dream, but if you're going to dream, do something about it. Let God be a part of it. But no, we're stuck in the spot of discouragement and depression, and we run and we let fear reign in our life, and we become the Christian that God has not wanted us to be. And God will work with you where you're at, but the thing is, he loves you enough not to leave you there. And you got to let, if you say you're a believer, quit thinking about what he did 20 years ago and think about what he's doing right now. Testimonies are great, but you need to have one today. And you do that by doing these things. You seek God. You pray. You read the word. You seek spiritual guidance. And you take time in that moment, and then you got to get back in. God did the same thing with Jonah. Gave him another shot. But there comes a time where you got to move. And not just get another shot, another shot, another time, another time, another time, over and over and over and over and over again. Next thing you know, look, you're going to be 60 years old doing the same thing you did at 30. Because you still believe that your way is working. Our ways don't work. The only true, perfect plan is God's plan. And I can make plans for my life, and I can ask God to bless those things, but the only perfect thing in my life is God's will. And my purpose is to fulfill the will he has for me, and I'm going to be just like Elijah from time to time. I'm going to be just like Jonah from time to time. I'm going to fail out like David. I'm going to be just like you all. But here's the difference. We need to remember this. When you see it coming and you're in it, know you're in it, know it's coming, and start getting right with God. If you don't get right with God, your problems don't get right. Elijah needed to get to this cave, not for the purposes he's thinking, but for the purposes God has planned. Amen? We need to seek God. And God is already seeking you. Father, as we see this story conclude, we see the awesomeness of what we've heard about Elijah being picked up in a chariot. We see Elijah encouraging the Lord Jesus Christ at Mount Transfiguration, that awesome moment in the New Testament of two people in all existence, one of them was Elijah. there was a time when Elijah ran in fear. He abandoned his post. He got so discouraged and repressed, Lord, that he wanted to take you to take his life. And Father, Lord, you worked on him and restored it. Restored his heart and put him back on the path of ministry. And I pray for each person here tonight that we've taken this message in a way that whatever we needed to hear tonight, that we take it serious and we take our life serious. I lift up this moment to you, Lord, that your will would be done in each one of our lives. In Christ's name, amen.